Hare Krishna. Very grateful to all the assembled devotees for being present this evening to celebrate our Mayapur Yatra, first day. Earlier, we visited the Yoga Pit, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami begins Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita with these prayers that we attempted to offer this evening. In these prayers, Kaviraj Goswami begins by offering obeisances to the spiritual masters, to the Vaishnavas, and to Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and their eternal associates. He explains that in the process of invocation, first there is defining the object, then offering obeisances and offering benedictions. The Diksha Gurus, the Shiksha Gurus, the Vartma Padakshaka Gurus are all explained by Kaviraj Goswami to be one. Although they each have their particular unique roles in our lives, together they are all representing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By offering obeisances sincerely and receiving their blessings and those of the Vaishnavas, all obstacles in the path of devotional services can be easily overcome, and the real goal of life, pure devotional service, can be achieved. Without the blessings of Guru and Vaishnavas, it is impossible. Therefore, there is no greater wealth to achieve in all the 14 worlds than the blessings of Guru and Vaishnavas. But what does it mean to receive blessings? Srila Prabhupada explains, the mercy of Krishna and his devotees are like rain. They are falling. The rain is falling everywhere. But we have to expose ourselves to the rain to gain the benefit. If we are hiding in a cave, a drop will not touch us. So the blessings of the great souls are achieved by following their instructions sincerely. Tadvidi pranipatina pariprasnena saiva. First, we must be submissive. We must be simple. We must be humble. We must accept that I do not know. As long as we think we know, then all we get is what we know, or what we have the capacity within our brain to know. But Krishna is billions and trillions of quadrillions of light years away from the farthest reach of your intelligence or your brain. He could only be known when out of his mercy he reveals himself So the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna approaches Krishna. I do not know. And he was desperate. He was not coming to hear from Krishna like most people come to Bhagavad Saptaha or Bhagavad Gita class. Neither was Parikshit Maharaj. They were desperate. They were urgent. They were hungry. If there's no hunger, there's no real digestion. They were in a situation where they were starving to hear about Krishna. There was a need, necessity. When we approach in that spirit, and then we're willing to serve, then blessings can actually be digested within one's heart. Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport, what is the test that one is sincerely chanting Hare Krishna? That one has a sincere enthusiasm to serve. At the same time, it is this enthusiasm to serve that attracts Krishna to manifest within his holy names. At the beginning, our enthusiasm to serve must be done as an austerity. Someone asked Prabhupada, what if I do not feel enthusiastic? Srila Prabhupada answered, then you act enthusiastic. Because by our actions, we are expressing to Krishna our intent that we want that enthusiasm. And by chanting Hare Krishna, with that intent, with that will, and with activities that express our service attitude, Krishna blesses us through his name. And then the test that from within our heart, a deep, spontaneous, natural enthusiasm to serve awakens more and more and more. We should not be artificial. Srila Prabhupada was very practical and very real. He was not concerned with people trying to cultivate the mood of the gopas and the gopis prematurely. He understood all these purifications and blessings will take place by Krishna's grace if we have a sincere enthusiasm to serve the order of the spiritual master, to serve the Vaishnavas, to serve the people in general by being an instrument of the Lord's compassion, by being eager to hear about Krishna and eager to chant his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What the Upanishads worship as the Supreme Brahman, who the yogis worship as the Paramatma, seated within the heart of every living being. Paramatma is like the sun. And just as the sun is reflected in thousands and thousands of jewels. The Paramatma is manifested within the heart of every living being. In fact, the Paramatma is in and between each and every atom. All-pervading, all-knowing, past, present, and future. The witness of every action and every word. That is Paramatma. And Bhagavan, the source of everything, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vadanti tat tat pavidas tat pam yajganamad vayam brahmiti paramatmiti bhagavan iti shaktyate. There are three features of the Absolute Truth: Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Bhagavan is manifesting in the spiritual world many, many forms. Narayan, Ramchandra, Varaha, Narasingha. Srimad Bhagavatam declares, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, that Krishna is the original source of all other manifestations, incarnations of the Lord. He possesses all opulence to the supreme degree. And ultimately, although God is one, Krishna, the Lord of Vrindavan, exchanges the sweetest pastimes with his devotees, the pastimes of spontaneous love. Once in a day of Brahma, Krishna appears in his original form. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains how the four yugas, one cycle is called a Divya Yuga. 71 Divya Yugas equals one Manvantar, or the period in which a particular Manu controls the worlds. 14 Manvantars equals one day of Brahma, which is approximately 4,320,000,000 years. Once in a day of Brahma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govindam Adipurusham, in his original form, descends to this world. And with him, he brings his abode of Vrindavan, his paraphernalia, and his eternal loving associates. And reveals the four mellows of spontaneous love in servitude, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love. After Krishna departed from this world, Chaitanya Charitamrita reveals Krishna's thoughts. He was thinking that after a long time, I have not bestowed unalloyed loving service, without which this entire universe is useless. Everywhere, religious people are following the various rituals and injunctions of the scriptures. But through this process alone, one cannot attain the loving service of the residents of Vrindavan. Krishna He reveals to us in his own heart that when his devotees worship him with awe and reverence, he considers it feeble devotion in comparison to the spontaneous devotion of the residents of Vrindavan. Because such devotional service can raise you to the platform of Vaikuntha, where there's eternal blissful life. But that type of devotion cannot control Krishna. Krishna's greatest pleasure is to be controlled by his devotees. In Vrindavan, Yashoda Mai binds Krishna with ropes. The cowherd boys climb on his shoulders and defeat him in games. And the gopis, they reproach him with harsh words, which steal his mind away from the hymns of the Vedas. Therefore, Krishna feels, he is thinking, that I shall personally descend into this world and inaugurate the Harinam Sankirtan movement and make the whole world dance with the mellows of this type of spontaneous love. But in order to do so, I must assume the role of my own devotee. Then it is quoted, the verses from Bhagavad Gita. Yad yad acharati sreshtas tad tad evitaro yatrayat sayat pramanam kurute lokas tad anuvartate. What a great person does, the common man will follow. So Krishna is thinking, you cannot really teach a person substantially unless you follow yourself. So I will come in the role of my own devotee to teach the pure love by which one can be elevated to Vrindavan. At the same time, Krishna is thinking that any of my plenary expansions can teach Yuga Dharma. But no one but me can bestow the loving service of the residents of Vrindavan. So I shall appear. Lord Chaitanya came to this world 4,586 years after the Kali Yuga began. Garga Muni in Srimad Bhagavatam knew of the Lord's appearance. During the name-giving ceremony of Krishna, he told Nanda Maharaj and the Brijavasis that your son, he has appeared with different colors in different ages. He appeared with a white color and a red color and a yellow color. And now he is appearing in this blackish, beautiful form. In this verse, he clearly reveals that in Kali Yuga, the Supreme Lord appears with his beautiful golden complexion. And the great yogi Karabharjuna Muni, in 11th canto, declares, Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishnam Sankopangasha Parashanam Yagyai Sankirtana Praya Yajanti Hisumedasa. That those who have good intelligence in this age of Kali, they will worship the Supreme Lord who appears in this non-blackish golden form. And how is he worshipped? Through the performance of Nam Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy names. just prior to Lord Chaitanya's appearance here in Navadvip, there was terrible degradation. Now, generally, if a person is economically or politically minded, one considers material affluence to be successful society. When politicians want to gain their seat in office, they generally promise people economic prosperity. Yes? That is the standard which will bring about happiness for those who are materially minded. Navadvip was fabulously opulent. It was the high seat of learning for the whole world. People in Navadvip, they had much money, tremendous amount of opulences. People were really materially satisfied. But when the devotees saw their condition, they wept with compassion because they wasted their lives without Krishna. They were worshipping demigods, spending huge amounts of money on marriages. And if they didn't have a child to get married, they would spend huge amount of money to get dogs and cats married. They worshipped Durga Devi, they worshipped the snake goddess, Vasudhi. But worst of all, they were so proud. They wouldn't listen to anyone. So much competition, so much aggression. Advaitacharya was the leader of all the Vaishnavas. Seeing the condition of Navadvip and seeing the condition of the whole world and looking into the future, his heart burned with compassion. How? How to make Krishna appear? Nobody else could establish within this age of Kali Yuga the Nam Sankirtan movement and the process of pure devotional service to the Lord. Only if Krishna himself comes is there hope. So he remembered a sloka from the Gautamiya Tantra, which describes how if Krishna is worshipped with simple devotion, by just offering a tulsi leaf and some water, he is conquered by that devotion and must fulfill the desire of his devotee. Advaitacharya spent days and days, weeks, years worshipping Lord Krishna with tulsi leaves and Ganges water and loudly crying out, begging Krishna to appear. His calls were so loud, not just in volume, but in love, in compassion, that it pierced through all the layers of material existence, entered into the Brahmajyoti, bypassed the Vaikunthas, and went right to Goloka Vrindavan, where it was heard by Krishna. Srila Prabhupada tells a story. When he was a child, he was in a drama, and he played Advaitacharya. Whose supreme compassion act for all of us brought the Lord down to deliver us. And he said he played the role of Advaita so sincerely that everyone in the audience was crying. Prabhupada said, this is really good drama when everyone cries. So just at that time, when the Lord was scheduled to appear as his Yuga avatar, to lift the burden of the world, it mixed with the same time that the Supreme Lord in his original form was to come, and meanwhile, Advaitacharya was crying out on behalf of all living entities. When Krishna appears, all the other incarnations are mixed within his body, because he is the source of all avatars. And it is Vishnu present within his body that kills the demons. But the original Krishna simply appears to perform his loving pastimes to attract the hearts of the conditioned souls within this world. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells that all that we just explained were the secondary reasons why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. His prime reason were two: to taste the sweetness of the essence of love of God, and to propagate devotional service with spontaneous attachment. Krishna, along with his eternal loving devotees from Vrindavan, he descended to this world to perform pastimes that had never even been seen in Vaikuntha, and that even amazed him. And by hearing these pastimes, one's heart becomes attracted to aspire to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes were to reach out even to the untouchables, to make no discrimination who was fit or who was unfit, but to give everyone the opportunity. He wove a garland with the flowers of the holy name and love of God, and placed that garland around the entire world. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells that he wanted to understand the glories of Radha's love, to understand the wonderful qualities in him that she alone relished through her love, and to taste the happiness that she alone relishes by realizing his love. In this way, taking the sentiments and the emotions of Srimati Radharani, the Lord appeared like the moon within the ocean of the womb of Sachi Devi. The Lord was thinking that Sri Radha is the abode of love, and he is the ultimate object of love. But how the abode of love experiences 10 million times more pleasure than the object Krishna is saying that although I am the reservoir of all rasas and ecstasies, I am only the object of love. But I can never taste the fulfillment of these three desires unless I become the abode of love. Thus, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Radha and Krishna become one. Who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Krishna with the sentiment and the complexion of Srimati Radharani, who has come to the world not only to taste that love, but to propagate it and distribute it through Nam Sankirtan. When the Lord decided to appear, first he sent his eternal associates in the form of his parents and his seniors in many places. Besides Navadvip, in Srihatta, Advaitacharya, Madhavendra Puri, Jagannath Mishra, Nilambar Chakravarti, Murari Gupta, and so many great souls appeared. In Chattagang, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Vasudev Datta, Mukunda Datta, Chaitanya Balava, in Sri Huta, Paramananda Puri, in Eka Chakra, Nityananda Prabhu appeared. Sachi Devi was married to Jagannath Mishra. She had eight daughters. Each one of them died just after their birth. Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi, it was the Lord within their heart that was invoking the deep desire for them to have a child. It was an insatiable desire. After losing eight children consecutively, after eight full pregnancies, they did special worship for their deity of Shalagram Shila. And in reciprocation, a beautiful son was born, Vishwarup. Now most people, if the Lord fulfills your desire, then you don't need the Lord so much anymore. But Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi, because the Lord fulfilled their desire, they increased in every way their worship of the Lord. That is a real devotee. They reciprocated. And then, in the year of 1485, in the month of Magh, the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, in the mood of Sri Radha, appeared within the mind of Jagannath Mishra and was transferred to the heart of Sachi Devi. From there, he entered into her womb in the month of Magh. There are many beautiful stories. When she was pregnant, she became effulgent. She would tell Jagannath Mishra that I'm having visions where demigods are coming and worshiping the child within the womb. In fact, one day Advaitacharya, leader of all Vaishnavas, he came to the house of Jagannath Mishra. And there, he began to offer prayers with folded palms to her womb. And he took chandan with a flower and offered the sandalwood pulp to her womb. Then he offered repeated dandavat obeisances. Now this is very scary, because the Dvaitacharya was so powerful. If he offered obeisances to a deity, and Krishna was not living in that deity, the deity would break. So could you imagine Sachi Devi? She already lost 8 children, and now he's offering obeisances to the child within her womb. He circumambulated her 8 times. And she said, Adwaita, what are you doing? Why? He just laughed and left. 9 months passed, 10 months, 11 months, 12 months. The child's still in the womb. This is causing great concern. They consulted Sachimata's father, Nilambar Chakravarti, who is a great Brahmin and an astrologer as well. He performed his calculations and declared that this is not an ordinary child. This child is waiting for the supreme, most auspicious moment that is most conducive to his mission to take his birth. It was in the month of Palgun, on the full moon night, there was an eclipse. Eclipse usually means inauspicious. But whatever helps us to remember Krishna is actually very auspicious. Sometimes when things are very, very auspicious, we forget Krishna because things are just so nice. Have any of you ever had that experience? But when things are really inauspicious, you feel so helpless, sometimes even fearful. And a devotee in that situation turns to Krishna. I remember just a couple of years back, I was in an airplane and they were having an emergency landing. And it appeared that we're going to die. They kept making these announcements, every 5 minutes. Please listen carefully. There will be an emergency landing. And they told us you have to duck down, you have to put your head between your legs, and you have to be prepared that there could be anything could happen. And babies were crying, and people were really afraid, and the airline hostesses were trying to be grave, but they were trembling and chattering. And 5 minutes later, announcement, emergency landing, please listen carefully. Very dangerous. And this went on for about 45 minutes. And the announcements were becoming more and more urgent each time. And then we're approaching the runway. What happened is all the systems that controlled the plane went out. They had no power, really. And they had to stop the flight as soon as it touched the ground, otherwise it could be a disaster. And we were coming close to the runway, we saw, it was in Bombay, dozens and dozens of fire trucks with their lights, and ambulances, dozens of ambulances with their lights flaring, all waiting for us. So, is that inauspicious? It was the most auspicious flight I was ever on. Because I never chanted so sincerely in any flight I've ever taken. Usually in flights, you're kind of half asleep, like, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Wasn't like that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. This is the end, Hare Krishna. It's beautiful. Krishna says, Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Mangalamangalam, that wherever the chanting of the holy name of Vishnu is, Nama Sankirtanam Vishnu, Jagat Mangalamangasam, wherever the chanting of the holy name of Vishnu is, everything becomes supremely auspicious. So the Lord arranged for Rahu to come and cover the moon. Eclipse. Because it was considered so inauspicious, even people who weren't Hindus were chanting Hare Krishna. Throughout all directions, everyone was chanting the holy names of Hari. In Navadvip, nobody chanted Hari's name, except a few Brahmins who did it, who said, Om Pundarikaksha, while they were taking their morning oblations in the Ganges. Other than that, nobody were here, except the devotees. But on this day, millions of people were crowding in the Ganges, loudly chanting the holy names of the Lord. And devotees were so happy. Now, eclipse is supposed to be inauspicious, right? The devotees were praying, let this eclipse last forever. Because it's making everything supremely auspicious. Everyone's chanting Hare Krishna. While the holy names of Krishna were resounding in the 14 directions, 10 directions, I'm sorry. The Supreme Personality of Godhead made his appearance within the world to teach the world that in this age of Kali, he appears within the hearts of those who sincerely chant his holy names. Even from his birth, he was fulfilling the purpose of his mission. Nimai, he was so beautiful. Under that neem tree at the yoga peat, Sachimata looked at his beautiful face. It was golden. Lotus-like eyes. His little nose put to shame the beauty of a sesame flower. His lips were red like the banduli flower. His face had the countenance of the moon. His neck swirled like a conch shell. And he kicked his little limbs, his little feet. Charmed Sachi's heart. She wept in motherly affection. She called Jagannath Mishra, who came running to the site. She said, look at the beauty and the sweetness of our baby. Jagannath Mishra and all the friends and relatives came running to the site. Instantly, at the first darshan of the little baby, he stole their hearts. They wanted nothing else but to please him. Their life, their soul, their everything was only to please this little child. He stole their hearts. Advaitacharya His wife, Sita Thakurani, came that night to present gifts. And when she saw little baby, she came to the realization, the same realization everyone, that this is the little boy Gopal who has appeared with a golden complexion. That was their feeling. Upon his birth, Nilambar Chakravarti came, because it is the tradition, just after the child is born, to research and explain the horoscope. Here is the greatest astrologer of the day. He said, I cannot calculate the glories of this child. What I see in his horoscope is beyond any human. It is said that a great king will be born in Bengal to a Brahmin family. Maybe in time, this boy will be the king. But according to the horoscope, he's greater than any king. He will have more intelligence than Brihaspati, the guru of all the demigods. But his glories will be unparalleled. I cannot say. It's too much. It is supremely auspicious. Just then, a very pure-hearted Brahmin stepped forward. And he said, I will explain what I have found in my readings and my realizations about this child. Everyone in rapt attention listened. He said, this child is the supreme personality of Godhead. He has descended into this world to teach the essence of all religions. He will have the power to deliver all living beings and make the whole world dance in ecstatic love. He told so many beautiful things about the child, but he did not discuss what he knew. That at the age of 24, this child is going to leave his home and take sannyas. Because everyone was so happy, he didn't want to spoil their happiness. He kept that secret. He said such beautiful things about Nimai. Jagannath Mishra was weeping. He was crying. His hairs were standing on end. He was trembling. He fell at the feet of this Brahmin, and the Brahmin fell at the feet of Jagannath Mishra. They embraced each other. Intoxicated by mutual love, for the child. The Brahmin said, because this child will nourish the entire universe with spiritual love, his name should be Vishwambar. At the name-giving ceremony, which happened little later, Sachimata and the ladies gave him the name Nimai, because he was born under a neem tree, and also because the neem tree is said to ward off ghosts and bad spirits. Because she already had 8 daughters who died, and this was going to be her last child, they named him Nimai to protect him. And some of the other ladies, seeing he had a beautiful golden complexion, just like all. He had the beauty of Lord Hari, but with a golden complexion, they called him Gaur Hari. And because every one of his limbs was so beautiful with the golden hue, Jagannath Mishra named him Gauranga. Many names. Little Nimai would cry. We were telling this afternoon, his cry was not like the cries of the babies today. It was so sweet. It was like music to the ears, to the heart. But still, when a child cries, it means he's unhappy. Whatever they did for the child, he kept crying. Until in desperation, they cried out the names of Krishna. The child smiled. There was nothing in all the 14 worlds that was more precious to the family and friends of Sachimata than to see Nimai smile. Therefore, 24 hours a day, ladies were waiting for Nimai to cry. And as soon as he did, they would gather around, clap their hands, and chant. Nimai would smile. Ah, that was the fulfillment of their lives. After 4 months, one time, little Nimai was alone in the room and he broke everything in the house. 4 months child. Broke all the pots, threw all the ghee and the yogurt on the ceiling and the walls. Everything was scattered, all the spices. And family came in and saw this. How could this happen? They came to the conclusion, some thief must have come. And he wanted to do harm to Nimai. But because we're always chanting mantras for the protection of Nimai, he couldn't harm the child, so he got angry and broke everything in the house. And as they were saying this, the little 4-month Nimai was smiling. The demigods, they were coming for the darshan of the little baby. And sometimes they wanted to cause trouble to the family, so they would make noises, or sometimes appear like a ghostly shadow running by. So the family got Brahmins to come and chant mantras. And the chief Brahmin screamed out, "Oh, you evil spirits, you're lucky you got away today, because I am chanting the mantra to Lord Narasingadev. If you come back, you will be destroyed." And the demigods laughed, and Nimai smiled. At his name-giving ceremony, they put out grains, sweets, and money, and gold, and Srimad Bhagavatam. And Jagannath Mishra said, "Nimai, choose whatever is most dear to your heart." Nimai crawled right to the Srimad Bhagavatam and embraced it. This was very symbolic. That would be his life. He was the very personification of Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, when Srila Prabhupada commenced in his life mission of translating and writing purports for Srimad Bhagavatam, he begins it with an introduction, which is the life summary of Lord Chaitanya. Why? Because Lord Chaitanya's entire life was the personified embodiment of the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. When little Nimai was just crawling One day, a large, poisonous, vicious-looking snake came into his courtyard. Now, little Nimai crawled over to that snake and grabbed it. Hare Krishna. The family members saw this. They were shrieking with fear. Snake tried to get away. Nimai just held right onto it. Then the snake coiled in circles. And Nimai laid right into his coils like a bed and smiled. Now, mothers, if you came out and saw your child laying on top of the coils of a dangerous snake, would you live? Everybody was crying out in total anguish. Garuda, Garuda! Because Garuda likes to kill snakes. They were crying out to Garuda to save the child from this snake. And meanwhile, Nimai was just looking at them and smiling. And they were afraid to come close, because if they come close, the snake could become angry and bite the child. So they were falling on the ground in utter dismay. And the snake was thinking that he was causing so much trouble. So he unwound his coils and tried to slip away. But as he was crawling away, Nimai grabbed him again. And the relatives, they picked up Nimai and took him away. And he was trying to hold on to the snake and they pulled him away. And they started chanting mantras. And thinking it is because of our worship of Lord Narayan that he has saved our child from this dangerous snake. In truth, that snake was Anantashesha, who came personally to participate in the beautiful pastimes of the Supreme Lord. And Vrindavan Das Thakur gives a benediction. Anyone who sincerely hears this story, will be freed from the snake bite of birth and death. Whenever the ladies would chant the holy names of Lord Hari, Nimai would dance. Now he was just starting to walk. How he learned to walk. He would grab on to Jagannath Mishra's little finger. Desperately hold on to it with his tiny little lotus-like fingers. And he would walk a few steps and then he would slip down and fall. And then Jagannath Mishra would put down his hand again and Nimai would grab onto his finger. He'd walk a few steps and fall. After some days, he learned how to walk and dance. The ladies would sing the holy names of Krishna and he would dance. He was so pleased with them, he'd run outside to go to shops that were selling sweets, bananas, coconuts. He had no money. It was so beautiful. Little tiny child, just walking. He would beg them, please give me your coconut. Please give me your bananas. And they'd give. And he'd run back in and he would distribute to all the ladies who were doing kirtan for him. One time Jagannath Mishra told Nimai, bring my book. He ran inside. While he was inside, Jagannath Mishra said to Sachi Devi, do you hear those ankle bells? She said, yes. But our child doesn't wear ankle bells. Where is that noise coming from? Such beautiful tinkling ankle bell sounds. Little Nimai came running out again, gave his father the book. They went inside to see what was that noise. There they saw these beautiful footprints that were marked with all the auspicious signs of Lord Krishna. They were all over the entire house. Where is this coming from? Jagannath Mishra was thinking, because we're taking so nice care of Nimai, Vishnu must be so happy with us that in our Damodar Shalagram Shila, he's performing pastimes in our house. So now let us reciprocate by offering him nice sweet rice and other sweets which they offer to the Lord. Nimai watched it all and smiled. One day, a Brahmin came to the house of Jagannath Mishra. He had been on a pilgrimage for many, many years. This Brahmin had a very pure heart. Around his neck was the deity of Bal Gopal and a Shalagram Shiva. He constantly chanted the holy names and meditated on the pastimes of Bal Gopal and would not eat anything that he did not personally cook for Bal Gopal. But of course, living in the forest most of the time, all he had were just some fruits and roots to offer. When he came to the doorstep of Jagannath Mishra, the whole family was so much honored and blessed by his presence. Jagannath Mishra said, "You have come to bless our home. Please tell me, where are you from?" The Brahmin said, "I am always traveling from place to place. The reason why is because I have such an agitated mind." Jagannath Mishra said, "The reason why is because the Lord is blessing the whole world wherever you travel. Please come into our house and let me arrange nice rice and other foods for you to cook." So the Brahmin agreed. He cooked rice and a nice little feast with the ingredients brought for him. He sat down, put the Shalagram Shiva and Bal Gopal, closed his eyes, meditated on his beloved Ishtadev, and chanted the names and the mantras for the Lord to accept his bhoga. Just in the midst of the offering, he opened his eyes and saw little Nimai with his lovely golden complexion, lotus-like eyes, gazing right at him with a handful of his rice. He put it in his mouth and chewed upon it. The Brahmin was shocked. Nothing like this ever happened. He cried out, "Hi, hi! Alas, alas! This child has spoiled my offering." Jagannath Mishra was so much disturbed, picked up a stick and chased after little Nimai. Nimai ran away. Jagannath Mishra was crying out, "Do you think I'm such a fool, Nimai, that I'm going to let you get away with this? You're just a thief. You must be punished. You must learn your lesson." And the Brahmin caught Jagannath Mishra's hand and said, "No, no, you cannot punish him. He's just a tiny little boy. He doesn't know better. You cannot punish such a child." Jagannath Mishra said, "If I don't punish him, how will he ever learn? No, no, you cannot punish him. Please, please." just give me some fruits and roots. I'll be happy. Jagannath Mishra pleaded with the Brahman, please cook again. I'll clean the kitchen and bring all fresh ingredients. The Brahman said, all right. He started cooking. Jagannath Mishra, very careful, he said, take Nimai somewhere else and guard him diligently. Vigilantly. So Sachimata brought Nimai to a neighbor's house, and young girls were given the responsibility to guard him. Hare Krishna. They were playing with him so nicely. They were picking him up and tossing him to one another, and then he would jump out of their arms and he would run around, and they were laughing and he was laughing. They were joking with him. Nimai, why did you steal the rice from that Brahman? He said, why do you say I steal? He called my name. He asked me to eat it, so I ate it. Why do you say I steal? Huh? But you're a Brahmin, and you don't know where he comes from. You don't know what his caste is, really? You don't know where he's been, what he does? And you're eating food. You could lose your caste by eating food from an unknown stranger. He said, why do you say lose my caste? I'm a gopa. I'm a little cowherd boy. And all little cowherd boys like to take foods from Brahmins. What is the harm? He was revealing his true identity. They laughed, but they could not understand. The Brahmin finished his offering and chanted the holy names of Bal Gopal. Please, Bal Gopal, come and accept my offering. How could Nimai resist? He was so charming. He utterly enchanted those ladies so much that he slipped away from them and they didn't even know. As the Brahmin was performing his puja, he looked up and there was little Nimai eating his rice, the pieces falling out of his mouth as he was laughing. And the Brahmin, shocked, cried out, hi, hi!
Hi, hi!
Jagannath Mishra picked up his stick, charged toward the little boy, and Nimai ran into another room, closed the door, and hid. The whole family grabbed Jagannath Mishra and said, no, don't punish this child. He said, I must. How will he ever learn? And the Brahmin pleaded with Jagannath Mishra. Jagannath Mishra said, I'll clean the kitchen, bring the ingredients, and you cook again. Please, he said, just bring me some fruits and roots. Can't you see? It's not my destiny to eat nice rice and prasad today. No matter what arrangements you make, if it's not the will of Krishna, you cannot eat. It's my karma. I'm supposed to eat fruits and roots today. Just bring me fruits and roots. I'm not going to cook again. Jagannath Mishra put his head in his hand and couldn't speak another word. At that moment, Vishwaroop entered. When the Brahmin saw Vishwaroop, his physical beauty, his glorious good qualities, his mouth opened in awe. He asked, whose son is this? The They said, this is the son of Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra. Vishwarup fell at the feet of the Brahman with such humility. And with folded palms, he said, we are so fortunate today that you have come to our home to bless us. But we are so unfortunate that you haven't eaten properly. Please cook again. The Brahman said, I've already cooked twice. And it's 2:30 in the morning. It's too late to cook again. Vishwarup said, it's not too late. It's actually a very good time to cook again. And besides that, great souls, they live for the welfare of others. Paradukaduki, their distress is to see other people in distress. They're willing to make sacrifices to show compassion to others. Look at my whole family, and even me. We're suffering terribly because you haven't eaten. So please cook again and make us happy. And then he fell at the Brahman's feet saying, please, please. And then everyone in the family went to the Brahman, please, please, cook again. The Brahman said, bring the bhoga. They cleaned the kitchen and brought fresh bhoga. Jagannath Mishra said, put the child in the room, lock the door, and guard him. In fact, I will stand outside the door with the stick to guard. One of the ladies came out and said, he's already sleeping. There is no longer any problem. The Brahman cooked. Just when he was chanting his mantra, little Nimai sent one of his Shaktis named Nidra Devi. Everyone in the house fell fast asleep. As he was chanting the mantra, calling his deity to accept his offering, he heard something and opened his eyes. And there was Nimai, looking right into his eyes with a beautiful smile, chewing on his rice. Hi, hi! Again, the child has spoiled my offering. But everyone was sleeping. Nobody heard. Nimai looked at him and said, dear Brahman, what is my fault? You called for me to eat the food, and I've come to eat the food. I am the Lord that you have been meditating on all your life. I am the Lord who you call upon with your mantras. Just see. The Brahman looked and saw Nimai transform into a magnificent eight-arm form. Four of his arms held the conch shell, the lotus flower, the club, and the disc. One hand held a pot of butter. The other hand was eating the butter. And with two other hands, he was playing the flute. He had a lovely peacock feather in his curling black hair that was shining and circling his face like the feathers of a crow. And there were fragrant malati flowers circling the peacock feather. The Kastuba jewel was on his chest, And the Brahmin saw Lakshmi Devi herself decorating his heart. He had shining golden garments, a wonderful garland of wild forest flowers that extended down below his knees. Behind him and all around was manifested the abode of Vrindavan. There were kadamba trees, tamal trees, with singing birds of all descriptions. And there he saw, just like in his meditation, there were unlimited cowherd boys and cowherd girls and cows, all singing the glories of the Lord. The Brahmin's hair stood on end. Tears gushed from his eyes. His limbs trembled, and he fell unconscious. Then little Nimai with his fingers touched him. And the energy of his touch thrilled the Brahmin and brought him back to consciousness. The Lord told him, "You are my servant birth after birth after birth. You do not remember, but I do. In your last birth, you were also a pilgrim Brahmin, and you came to Gokul, Mahavan, to the house of Nanda Maharaj. And there you made offerings, and I stole your offerings there too, and I manifested the same form to you then. Do you not remember? Because you are my devotee, my eternal servant, I always reciprocate with your love. But now I'm going to tell you a confidential secret. You cannot ever tell anyone as long as I am manifesting on this earth. I am the Supreme Lord Krishna, and I have descended. I have descended to establish the Harinam Sankirtan movement. I have come to give the gift of love of God and make it available through all the towns and villages throughout the world. You may come here every day to see my pastimes, but do not disclose to anyone what you know." Then little Nimai ran back into the bedroom and went to sleep. The Brahmin, so much in ecstasy, what he had just seen, what he had just heard. He was screaming out, "Jai Bal Gopal, Jai Bal Gopal, Jai Bal Gopal." And he was picking up that rice that he saw fall from the Lord's mouth. He was intoxicated. He was rubbing it on his face. He was rubbing it on all his limbs, all the while screaming out, "Jai Bal Gopal!
Jai Bal Gopal!"
This woke up all the people of the house. Soon Sachimata, Jagannath, Misha, Vishwaroop, and all the other family members come running. When he saw them, he somehow or other wiped all the rice off his body and sat very patiently and began to eat. He looked sober. The offering was successful. In his heart of hearts, he was longing to tell them that, "You people," he was thinking, "you people, the Supreme Lord Krishna is living in your house and you do not even know it. You'll be liberated. You'll attain the ultimate perfection if you just know the truth of who your son is. But, I can't tell. I can't. Otherwise, I'll die." A for the rest of his life that Brahma never left Navadvip. And he never told anyone. He would wander, and every day he would go to Jagannath Mishra's house. And in his heart of hearts, he would worship the Lord of his life and watch his beautiful pastimes. And Vrindavan Das Thakur gives a benediction that anyone who hears this story sincerely will meet Krishna. When it came the time for Nimai to begin his studies, this is a big event. You see, in the Vedic Indian Vaishnav culture, any excuse for a festival. They have festivals for every stage of a child's life, and they really celebrate really nicely. When the child first starts leaning, there's a festival. When the child first begins his studies, there's a festival. Jagannath Mishra gave him a piece of chalk and taught him the alphabet, Sanskrit, Bengali. The little child, immediately, within a matter of days, the child was writing the whole alphabet, but was writing nothing but the names of Krishna. It astonished everyone. Sometimes he would yearn for things that were unobtainable. He would be in Satyamata's lap, and he would see a bird high in the sky. And he'd say, Mata, give me that bird. She said, Nimai, I can't give you the bird. So he would cry, give me the bird, give me the bird. So everyone came running and chanted the holy name. Another day, Satyamata said to him, what would you like, Nimai? Anything. He said, give me the moon. She said, I can't give you the moon, but I want the moon. You promised me anything. I want that moon. So he cried and cried and cried until everyone came and chanted the holy names. Another day, he said, Mother, I want all those stars. And he was serious about it. When she was unable to give him all the stars in the sky, he cried and he cried and he cried until everyone came to chant. This chanting always worked, except one day. Nimai was crying. And everyone was chanting, 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 but he kept crying. They were chanting louder. He cried louder. Whatever way they chanted, he just kept crying louder and louder and louder. And finally they asked, Nimai, what do you want? He became very serious. He said, Jagadish and Hiranya Pandit, I want their offering that they're made to the deity today. Wow. They're respectable Brahmins who live some distance away. How can we go to their house and just say, our child wants your whole offering? Then Nimai started crying. He said, there's no way I'm going to stop crying till I get their offering. So Jagannath Mishra, he was their friend. He went to their house. My son Nimai, whatever you offer to the deity, he wants it all. He won't stop crying. And they were amazed. They were astonished. This is impossible. Your child must be Narayan himself. Nobody knows this. But today's Ekadasi, and we made a big feast
like we've never made before for our deities. How did he know? This is amazing. Immediately packed up the entire feast, ran to the house, and put it before Nimai, Jagadish, and Hiranyaksha Pandit said, Nimai, please, eat everything, whatever you like. Nimai was very happy. They were his eternal servants. He took a little of each preparation. And because he was a small child, he was chewing on it, it was falling out of his mouth. And he was throwing some of it, and he was eating it, and throwing it, and eating it, and throwing it, and it was all over the place. And he was smearing it on other people. Hiranya and Jagadish, it was the perfection of their life. They didn't know why. They didn't know he was God himself. But what they were experiencing, there's a very important lesson. The Supreme Lord cries for the love of his devotees. The Lord was crying to receive the love of these two great, great Vaishnavas. One day, should I continue? One day, Nimai was playing with his friends. They played so many games. In fact, Lochan Das Thakur tells that every game that has ever been played in the history of humanity, Nimai played. And more. Every day. So playful, so mischievous. One day they were playing and the Ganges, sometimes they would play a game where little birds would be on the bank of the Ganges where the soil was wet and there would be imprints of their little feet, bird feet. And the children would count to see who could count all the bird footprints. Games like that. But one day they discovered a newborn litter of puppies. And Nimai claimed one of them. One of his friends was unhappy with this. He said, Nimai, this isn't fair. You chose the most beautiful of all the puppies and you left all the ugly ones for us. Nimai said, No. We will take this beautiful puppy home and we'll all play with him together there. Come to my house. Sachimata was out bathing in the Ganga. She was not home at the time with her friends. Nimai was playing with puppy with his friends and he was holding the puppy on his head and holding the puppy around his shoulders and picking him up and lifting him. And they really, really liked this little puppy. Now, one of the friends started a fight with the other friends, and there was an argument. Nimai chastised him. He said, why every day you always pick quarrels with all of us, and you always start a fight? And the friend looked at Nimai and said, because you stole the most beautiful puppy, that's why. And he stormed out of the house in anger. Hare Krishna. And on his way out, he saw Sachimata. And he said, Sachimata, do you know what your son is doing? He brought a dirty dog in your house, and he's playing with it. He's putting it on his face, he's putting it on his, all over his body. And then he ran away. Sachimata was shocked. She entered the house, and there was Nimai, laughing and jumping with all his friends with a puppy. Sachimata slapped her hand against her forehead. Said, Nimai, I can't believe what I'm seeing. You are the son of a respectable Brahmin. Do you know who your father is? Do you know who your grandfather is? Our entire reputation will be ruined. In our house, you're playing with dogs? Have you no discrimination? Have you no standard of cleanliness in the house of a Brahmin? Playing with dogs? Am I? I feel like I want to die because of your behavior. But then she looked at him. He was so charming. Nimai said, but I love this dog. And she said, all right, all right. And she embraced him. She said, tie your dog up and go to the Ganges to take your bath. And then come back and play with your dog. Because after all, you haven't eaten in a long time. So come, take your bath, have prasad, then play with your dog. She rubbed scented oils on Nimai's body and cleansed him of all the dust that had gathered while he was playing. Nimai said, Mother, make sure you protect my puppy. She said, yes, I will protect your puppy. And he ran off to with his friends to bathe in the Ganga. While he was gone, Satchimata untied the puppy and sent the puppy away. One of the friends saw this, ran to the Ganga and said, Nimai, Nimai, your mother chased the puppy away. He immediately came out of the Ganga and ran home and saw no puppy. Mother! Mother! Where is my puppy? Where is my puppy? Satchimata said, I don't know. He was here just a few minutes ago. Perhaps a thief came and stole him. Nimai was very, very disturbed. He was crying. He was crying. He said, Mother, you don't understand. That puppy was really beautiful. I'm really in distress. I love that puppy. Satchimata picked up Nimai and just kissed him again and again and again and started giving him sweets and kheer and sandesh and said, please, Nimai, just eat your prasad and tomorrow we'll go and we'll find your puppy and bring him home. Inundated by the love of his mother, Nimai enjoyed her prasad. But that puppy was touched by the Supreme Most Merciful Lord. A couple days later, in the town of Navadvip, the citizens saw a miracle. They saw this little puppy dog with his arms raised, dancing in ecstasy, chanting the holy names of Krishna. Tears were pouring from the puppy's eyes. All the hairs in the puppy's body were standing on end. Its limbs were trembling. The divine ecstasies of love of God were decorating this puppy. Everyone around was gathering by the hundreds and the hundreds to watch this. He was leading them all in a kirtan. Suddenly, right before their eyes, the puppy gave up its life. Dropped to the ground a magnificent golden chariot descended from Goloka Vrindavan with magnificent domes. It was decorated with pearls and precious jewels. There were two transcendental personalities from the spiritual world that lifted the little puppy up and put him on a throne. Then the puppy manifested his eternal spiritual form. In ecstasy, chanting the names of Krishna. As descendants of Goloka were fanning him with chamara and chanting the holy names, the chariot ascended toward the spiritual world. On the way, the demigods were showering flowers on this puppy, who is now a denizen of Goloka. Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Agni. They were praying. We have never seen any form of the Lord more merciful than Gauranga. Because the demigods, they had seen Narasingha Dev and Varaha Dev and Ramchandra and Krishna and all other avatars, but they had never seen the limits of such kindness. An insignificant baby dog is not just given liberation, not just going to Vaikuntha, but going to Goloka Vrindavan simply because Lord Chaitanya loved him, played with him for a few minutes. The demigods were praying. We have been performing devotional service. We have been performing so many sacrifices for so many young years. And demigod years are very long. We pray that we can attain the good fortune of this puppy dog. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he prays. What is that verse? Tumito Thakur Tohomara Kukur. You are my Lord. Let me just be your dog. He also prays to his spiritual master, I am just like a dog running behind you, calling out Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Yes, this is the power and the greatness of Lord Chaitanya. The demigods were praying for the fortune of this dog. With full realization that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the supremely most merciful of all forms of the Lord. We have come here to Sri Mayapur Dham to pray for the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. If he can deliver a dog, he could certainly deliver any of us. If we are simply sincere. Srila Prabhupada appealed to us, just be sincere. Take this Krishna consciousness very seriously, without duplicity. And the Lord, if we are just sincere and earnest in our efforts, he will preserve what we have and carry what we lack. Thank you very much.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.